Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Today is October the 17th, 2014, and this is Retooling for Your Coming of Age with your guest host today, Jameen Aponte. Your usual host, Jeff Dunphy, is at a conference today, and so he's asked me to fill in for him, and I do hope that I accomplish this with as much grace and eloquence as he usually does. So for your information, just so that you know, any new listeners out there, you can find all of the information about this show, Retooling for Your Coming of Age, on our website, retooling.org. You can also follow us on Twitter and get all of the information for this show and all previous shows on the tab that says show notes. So, ladies and gentlemen, today I'm going to talk about fear, television, thought power, and action. As you all know, we are living in a time when there seems to be so much tragedy and so much tumult all around us. We see it everywhere on the internet, on the television, in the newspapers, on magazines, in commercials even. We are simply living in this time where fear seems to be everywhere we look. And so I want to talk a little bit about fear today. I want to talk about how television uses fear as a tool against us in many ways. I want to talk about our thought power, and I want to talk about how we can take action to change this pattern. I hope you'll stick with me today. I think I've put together a really good show for us, and I've got some really good clips. And so here we go. So fear. What is it, and why are we constantly inundated with it? I first want to start the show with a clip by a gentleman called Sadhguru from something called the Isha Foundation. The Isha Foundation is a not-for-profit public service organization founded by a gentleman, which I just named, called Sadhguru, and it addresses all aspects of human well-being. It has its headquarters in India and the USA. And this gentleman, Sadhguru, is a man who has reached a certain level of enlightenment. And so what does that even mean? It means that he has a very high vibratory rate and that he has the ability to see and understand life at a macro level. And so whereas most people who cannot see past their own lives or their own thought stories or their own dramas, someone who has reached a certain level of enlightenment is past that, and they can see from a zoomed out perspective. So I want to play this first clip about fear, and Sadhguru is talking about fear, and I just want to discuss it. And he points out some really interesting ideas about fear and about insanity.
An unrealistic perception of life is the basis of fear. People are not willing to live, people are not willing to die. That is their whole predicament right now. The fear is simply because you're not living with life, you're living in your mind. Your fear is always about what's going to happen next. That means your fear is always about that which does not exist. If your fear is about the non-existent, your fear is 100% imaginary. If you're suffering the non-existential, we call that insanity. So people may be in just socially accepted levels of insanity, but if you're afraid or if you're suffering anything which does not exist, it amounts to insanity, isn't it? People are always suffering. Either what happened yesterday or what may happen tomorrow. So your suffering is always about that which does not exist, simply because you're not rooted in reality. You're always rooted in your mind. Mind is, one part of it is memory, another part of it is imagination. Both of them are in one way imagination, because both of them don't exist right now. You're lost in your imagination. That's the basis of your fear. If you were rooted in reality, there would be no fear.
So I think that's a very interesting concept. And these days, we are also learning a lot about these new age concepts. And I say the word new age in parentheses because I think that's also a very misunderstood and misrepresented concept in itself. But what I mean by that, what I was initially going to say, is that we are constantly also being taught that we should be in the now and be present. And so what does that mean? And how does that relate to what Sadhguru just said? And what he's saying is that when we are fearing things that are not happening in the present moment, so for example, if we watch the news and the news is telling us that we should be afraid of this disease that is going to come in the future sometime, some imaginary time, but you're not actually suffering from the disease right now, then you're fearing something that is in your imagination. It's a creation, and it's not even in your experience per se. So you're fearing something that someone else has projected onto you, has told you to fear, but it's not really in existence in this moment. And so what he's saying is that if you're present, if you're conscious in your body and you are focusing on what is happening right now and that's where your focus is, then unless that is actually happening to you, unless you are actually having that disease, whatever it is, I don't even need to name it, because if you've turned on the television, I'm not even going to put the energy into it, you know what's happening. And this happens all the time. We're always being told to be afraid of this or that, or this disease is coming to get us, or this boogeyman is coming to hurt us, harm us. But these things aren't actually happening in the present moment. And so I just think it's a very interesting concept to consider if we are actually fearing something that is happening right now to us, or are we fearing something that is made up, is imaginary, isn't really happening. And that idea is super important. So think about that for a second. Everyone has fear. In the television, we're taught to fear, like I just mentioned, diseases. We're taught to fear. I heard a sound on Skype, so I want to make sure that I'm still going here. Okay, I am. Good. Excuse me. We are taught to fear that we're not good enough, that we aren't doing the right things, that we're not fitting in. We're taught to fear that our choices, our lifestyle choices, are wrong. And so this idea of giving others fear is very prevalent in our society. And I want people who are listening to this to start asking why. Why is that happening? Why is fear being used as a psychological tool against us? So I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I find it actually upsetting that people are being abused by this fear. And I wanted to go into a little bit more of how that fear affects us, what it does to our bodies. Why would they want to use that fear? And I found this really funny clip. It's I don't know who this person is, but I just really liked what she had to say. And I think that even organizations that are intending to do good unconsciously use fear as well as a tool to get people's attention, to try to wake them up. And so I just want to play this quick clip by this girl that I found on the internet talking about fear, and I think what she has to say is valid. And here you go.
It often amazes me that people in the alternative media or in the truth movement use fear to try and wake people up, when we know that most scared people are actually going to become introverted, hounded by anxiety, and actually less proactive in their communities. the government knows that scared people will sit idly by while their civil rights are stripped away. The robber knows that his victim will be paralyzed by fear and will likely just hand over his wallet or whatever else. The mass media knows that scared people will sit around and watch their stupid television program. The rapist knows that out of fear, his victim will give up the sanctity of their body. So why the heck would we try to wake people up by scaring the piss out of them? It just doesn't make sense. I would say that any individual or organization who seems dedicated to instilling you with fear is really not interested in your personal freedom or your ability to contribute to and change the world, and certainly not your personal happiness. It's the person who educates you, who makes you more effective, who empowers you with information to help you improve your life and give you avenues to help improve your community that really has your best interests at heart.
I don't know who this girl is. She's a young girl. She does a psychology channel. I do believe that psychology is a very important tool in helping people to heal and helping people to realize that, to see what is happening in their thought processes, in their behaviors, and being able to see that is the first step in being able to heal anything. So if you can't see that something is happening, then you aren't able to heal it or change it. And I like what she has to say, because if we cannot see that these media entities, these government entities, these organizations are using fear as a tool to keep us inhibited, then we're not going to be able to change our habits, or we're not going to be able to change the way we absorb that information. And that's the most important thing. And that's why I've chosen this topic for today, because this show, Retooling for Your Coming of Age, is about teaching people how to awaken, to become more conscious, to have that ability to zoom out of your own mental and emotional story and see life from a zoomed out perspective, to see life as with more clarity and to be more conscious of what you're doing, so that you can heal your own life and then project that healing and that goodness and that love out into the world at large. Because the truth is that if we're sick inside, and we, even if we want from the bottom of our hearts for the world to be a better place, for there to be peace and love and all of these wonderful things that we are able to intellectualize, if we don't have that within ourselves, if that's not part of our own experience, then again, it's not real, part of our imagination. So how do we bring these concepts into reality? We make it real in our lives first. So I'm just going to change gears right now to the power of thought and our own power as human beings. Human beings are actually very powerful entities. We have the ability to create realities with our thought power. And for those of you out there who are skeptical of this, who tend to be a little bit more left brain and need more concrete scientific proof of this, there are so many scientific studies and research studies that prove how human thought affects real life and real life things. And one of my favorites and one of the best ones is by a Japanese scientist named Dr. Masaru Emoto. Dr. Masaru Emoto is a scientist who did various experiments using water to see how human thoughts, when projected onto water, affect the actual water molecules. And it's funny, because when you actually listen to him talk about it, he says that he just stumbled upon it. It was almost like a miracle that he stumbled upon this project. And what happened was he discovered something absolutely extraordinary. And he's able to show it scientifically so that naysayers and skeptics who don't believe in the power of human thought can see it with their own eyes and see that their thoughts have an effect on not only water, but also on other life forms. And so if you've never heard of this, I'm just going to give you the quick and dirty version. Dr. Emoto wrote a book called Messages from Water based on his scientific research of human thoughts projected onto water. And what happened was when you project thoughts onto water, so for example, let's say you have a glass of water and you tell the water, I love you, thank you, you are beautiful. What actually happens is the crystalline structure of the water molecules change. And so if you can imagine a snowflake, a very beautiful snowflake, this was what was happening to the water. And when you would tell the water, I love you, or thank you, or when you played it beautiful music by Mozart or Bach, beautifully composed music, the water molecules would change into these very beautiful crystalline structures, similar looking to snowflakes. And different thoughts have different structures in the water. And so he was able to document this and take pictures of the water molecules. And on the contrary, if you project negative thoughts into the water, you say things like, you're a fool, I hate you, and I don't even want to put that out there, but if you say these things to the water, you send these negative thoughts to the water, then the water molecules become deformed, and they become sickly looking and diseased. And so through this research, he was able to form very conclusive scientific evidence that showed how human thoughts affect water. And if you extrapolate from this, and I'm just going to read a quick quote from Dr. Emoto, and this quote is, "Water is the mirror that has the ability to show us what we cannot see. It is a blueprint for our reality, which can change with a single positive thought. All it takes is faith if you're open to it." So if we extrapolate from his research and his work, what we learn is that if our thoughts and out the projection of our thoughts can affect a glass of water, how does that affect the human body? According to most sources, for example, if you go to waterinfo.org, the human body is composed of more than 60% water. Blood is 92% water. The brain and the muscles are 75% water. And bones are about 22% water. So imagine how the human body is affected when it is filled with fear, negative thoughts, self-loathing, anxiety, stress, depression. Imagine it. I'm going to play a quick clip right now from Dr. Emoto and another experiment that he did on rice. And so what this does is kind of shows you how our thoughts and our words become real, how they affect living organisms. And you can easily extrapolate how that would affect the human organism, how that affects children, how it affects plants, how it affects our food. Here we go.
Dr. Emoto has conducted another interesting experiment. He placed rice into three glass beakers and covered it with water. And then every day for a month, he said, thank you to one beaker. You're an idiot to the second. And the third one, he completely ignored. After 1 month, the rice that had been thanked began to ferment, giving off a strong, pleasant aroma. The rice in the second beaker turned black. And the rice that was ignored began to rot. Dr. Emoto thinks that this experiment provides an important lesson, especially with regard to how we treat children. We should take care of them, give them attention, and converse with them. Indifference does the greatest harm.
This is really something important to think about. Our thoughts are powerful. Our thoughts have the ability to either heal something, keep it fresh, keep it healthy through positive thoughts, through loving thoughts, and it has the ability to create blackness, disease, fungus in things that where we project negative thoughts. And also when we ignore, when we don't give any love or any negative thoughts to something in general. So just some food for thought, and if you bring that back to this idea of being inundated with fear and negative programming, as Sadhguru of the Isha Foundation said in the first clip, if we are fearing things that do not exist, in a sense, it is insanity. So I ask you this, are we not listening to various outlets creating false fears in our life, which cause us in turn to create negative internal dialogues, anxiety, anger, withdrawal, depression, and ultimately creating disease in our bodies? Why is this happening? Why? What is something that we can do to change this? What is something that we can do to create positive change in our lives? One of the greatest philosophers of our times, his name is Manly P. Hall. He was born in Canada, but he lived the majority of his life in the United States. He started his own psychological foundation. He's written many, many books, and he is a foremost expert in everything esoteric, metaphysical. He is one of my favorite philosophers. I have a clip of Manly P. Hall talking about television and how television and the watching of television constantly and on a regular basis affects the human being. It's a bit of a longer clip, but I think it's worth it because I personally enjoy the speaking style of Manly P. Hall, and I believe that what he says, and I know that what he says is important, super important, and still very valid in today's day and age. So give it a listen.
We have a lesson that we might give a lot of thought to these days. There's a great deal of criticism of television programming, but that is not going to be the burden of my discussion this morning. I have something else that seems to me to be infinitely more important, and that is that man is no longer simply a biped without feathers, as Diogenes likened him. Man is a thinking creature. He should not be brought up by a trainer like a dog. He should not be taught only to obey. He should not be fed because he obeys. He should not have a life of luxury, perhaps, because he happens to obey a rich person. The actual problem is that the human being has a mind that was given to him to think with. It was an active organ, an organ to do something. It was not simply a receptive faculty to listen, to hear, and to see. Most people in various fields of activity never participate in those practices and policies which stretch the mental power and make it do things that we want it to do. In modern world, we train the mind by education to give us a profession or a trade or a craft or membership in a union or whatever it may be. We listen to the instruction, we get the job, we stay with the job, and in all this procedure we have done very little thinking. We have followed policy, we have obeyed rules, we have done what the boss told us to, And we may have taken a few special courses in computerization or something of that nature. But the real creative faculties of the mind have not been used at all. So at the end of one of these harrowing days, in which most of the harrow has now been eliminated, we go home, sit down in front of the television, and perhaps spend anywhere from 2 to 6 hours watching what? We're not watching anything that was going to make us really think a good deal. If it's an educational program, it'll be turned off very quickly. We watch sports. We listen to the news, which is usually highly influenced politically. We go through a few horror dramas, westerns, a few very poor humor programs, and then settle down to the great run of family epics, in which we learn nothing, but may choose one or two characters to pull for because they seem to create sympathy, and one or two whom we love to hate because we don't like them. And this constitutes a big intellectual experience. And by the time we have finished with that, we're so exhausted we fall into bed. In the daytime, we have all kinds of domestic programs. Programs which may or may not bear upon any factual situation. We may have a few instructive ones on non-commercial programming. But we listen, we watch, and that just go out and get a cold beer or something of this nature. Nothing happens upstairs in ourselves. Nothing is being developed as a factor in the growth of our own thinking. We are not thinking, actually, and if we are thinking, we are not doing anything about it because most of the thoughts are non-factual. So here we go all through an entire lifetime, surrounded by all types of information, which we accept only through the eyes and ears. And when the time comes, we do very little to solve our own problems. A person whose mind is being used every day to find new values, accomplish new works, do new things that have not been done, improve the quality of living, solve the personal problems of his life. These are the things that help to exercise the mind. But to drift along from work to television to bed and then up and again the next day is not doing anything to make people. It is only continuing a humdrum, which is only one step above animal existence. This means that in some respect, we need creative programs. Now, a creative program is something that we do because basically, we want to express ourselves. We do not wish merely to do what everyone else does. We want to do something that will satisfy our own inner impulses. But for the most part, these impulses just are not active enough to give us any positive directive. So it seems that one thing we have to do to get away from this hypnosis of the tube is to realize that we have faculties within ourselves that do not need to be subjected to this continual negative conditioning, that we are simply capable of thinking rather than merely of watching the antics of someone else. It's so everywhere today. In music, we have the same problem. We go and listen to a good concert and we applaud the performers, but for the most part, we do not think of putting ourselves under the discipline of music. Another individual is much interested in the dance, but he can barely stay on his feet on the ballroom floor. We see people that are interested in all kinds of crafts. They collect them, but they don't create them. Now, something has to happen to change our way of life from admiring the creations of others to the development of creative capacity in ourselves. So if we want to really have a great history, we can study our own inner lives. If we want a great theater, we can be both the audience and the cast. If we want any of the inner understandings which make for philosophy, mysticism, and so forth, they're all available inside of ourselves. The only thing we've got to do is bring it out. And we bring it out by dedication, gaining strength in the inner life, just as the athlete gains it by daily discipline. By the proper mental, emotional disciplines, we can become healthy individuals in terms of our minds, our emotions, our hearts, and our jobs. These are the things we've got to work for. And if it means that we must do it, we can, with one quick twist to the wrist, get rid of most of the corruptions of society and face the fact that these are imaginary corruptions. We've got plenty of real ones. We don't have to build them up that way. What we've got to do is find out what corruptions are still lurking in us and correct them. And as soon as we correct the mistakes in ourselves, we begin to see better values in other people. Because we see in others usually what we are ourselves focused upon. So don't let the great big bad tube get you. Be very careful about it. And when uncertain, turn it off. And you'll find that if you turn it off to do something interesting, beautiful, or wonderful, you will never miss it again. You cannot turn it off successfully, however, until there is something you want to be or something you want to do right then and there that is more important than the tube. If you think it out that way, I think it'll work out all right in the end.
So that was Manly P. Hall talking about television and about how we can make the world better. And it actually seems like a pretty simple solution, and that solution is by changing ourselves and seeing reality for what it really is. And so if we sew together all of the concepts that we've already talked about today, we talked about fear and how important it is to recognize whether a fear is actually happening right now. Are you about to fall off a cliff? Are you actually sick with some disease that's traveled across the sea from Africa? Is this stuff really happening in your life, or is it something that's been placed into your mind space and is imaginary? What is reality and what is imaginary? And can we give energy to things that aren't actually in existence in our lives? And then we sew that into the concept of why are these corporations, government organizations, television outlets, mass media, pundits, why are these people, why are these organizations perpetuating this fear? As you may or may not know, fear itself actually makes an individual more introverted. It causes them to withdraw. It causes them to cower in the corner, as some might say. It inhibits an individual from acting, from actively being present in their life. And so if you think about everything we've talked about, if we think about what Sadhguru from the Isha Foundation said in the beginning and what Manly P. Hall just said right now, it's that whole concept of knowing what is real and what is imaginary and what are the things that are actually happening in your life and being in that place of presence, that idea of nowness that keeps your consciousness here and now. And when you are conscious, when you are present, when you are in the moment, then unless something is actually happening that's fearful, then there's nothing to be fearful of. And so I think that you can really think about these concepts in terms of how do we make the world better, right? How do we, and the answer to that question is that we first start by seeing what really is. Are we afraid of what is actually happening right now in this moment? Or are we afraid of an idea that is being placed in our head from someone or something else? Is the fear, the stress, the anxiety really being caused by the things happening in our lives? Or is there someone or something outside of us telling us to be afraid and in turn causing this stress, anxiety, and disease in our bodies? So the next step is turning off that television and starting to improve our own lives by creating, thinking for ourselves, discriminating. And I know that a huge concept in this show, Retooling for Your Coming of Age, is to think for yourself. Don't just listen to what I'm saying. Take it in, hear it, and then do your own research. Go out there, read about the experiments by Masaru Emoto. Listen to what philosophers like Manly P. Hall have to say and what philosophers like Sadhguru of the Isha Foundation have to say, and do your own research. Start to experience for yourself what is your actual reality as opposed to others on the outside telling you what should be your reality. And start to see how fear is used as a tool to keep you from moving in that direction of action. So I wanted to close the show today with a very powerful clip by Dr. Dalia Wasfi. She's an Iraqi-American physician and activist. It's clear that we are living in a time of war when people are being inundated with propaganda for the purposes of keeping people afraid of this invisible boogie monster. And it's not just invisible boogie monsters that are terrorists, but it's also the invisible boogie monsters of disease and the vaccines that they're going to sell you in order to save yourselves or protect yourselves from these diseases, and the rights that they're going to take away from you so that you can be protected from these boogie monsters. Personally, I believe in humanity. I believe that human beings innately, from a deep place within, want a better world. Not all of them, but most of us do. However, I believe that we are being abused, and I believe that our emotions are being used against us in the ugliest of ways. I think that we are being psychologically attacked by the mass media, by government organizations, and I believe that this is happening for the purposes of keeping people from waking up to their own beauty, from opening up their hearts and from allowing humanity to evolve into this beautiful community that it's meant to become. And I know that there's a lot of people out there who think that's idealistic, but I assure you that if you peel away all of these layers of fear and of insecurity and of feeling like there's nothing you can do to change things, I assure you that you will also know that this is the purpose of humanity, and that this ability to love that we have is for the purpose of evolving into a greater species. And so I hope that I was able to demonstrate in today's show and lay out to you that one of the ways our emotions are being used against us is through fear. And I hope you will begin to see a bit more clearly how we are being used and abused without our consent or our knowledge. And if you begin to just shut that off so that you can clear your mind space and so that you can begin to see what's really happening in your life and be more present, then you can really make huge changes in the world at large just by making changes in yourself. And so I want to leave you with this powerful speech by Dr. Wasfi. It's about the reality of what's actually happening right now in the world. And I hope you will be inspired to open your eyes just a little bit wider today and tomorrow and the next day, and to realize that a lot of the things that we're being told isn't the reality of what is the real truth. And as she says at the finish of her speech, no justice, no freedom. Namaste, my friends. Thank you for this opportunity. Finally, if you want to learn more about myself, about this show, you can visit our website. It's retooling.org. We have our show notes are always posted every week after each show, and I will include information about myself in today's show notes as well so that you can find out who you're listening to. So finally, I leave you with this final clip, and I thank you for listening.
We have an obligation to every last victim of this illegal aggression because all of this carnage has been done in our name. Since World War II, 90% of the casualties of war are unarmed civilians, a third of them children. Our victims have done nothing to us. From Palestine to Afghanistan to Iraq to Somalia to wherever our next target may be, their murders are not collateral damage. They are the nature of modern warfare. They don't hate us because of our freedom. They hate us because every day we are funding and committing crimes against humanity. The so-called war on terror is a cover for our military aggression to gain control of the resources of Western Asia. This is sending the poor of this country to kill the poor of those Muslim countries. This is trading blood for oil. This is genocide. And to most of the world, we are the terrorists. In these times, remaining silent on our responsibility to the world and its future is criminal. And in light of our complicity in the supreme crimes against humanity in Iraq and Afghanistan and ongoing violations of the UN Charter and international law, how dare any American criticize the actions of legitimate resistance to illegal occupation? Our so-called enemies in Afghanistan, Iraq, Palestine, our other colonies around the world, and our inner cities here at home are struggling against the oppressive hand of empire, demanding respect for their humanity. They are labeled insurgents or terrorists for resisting rape and pillage by the white establishment, but they are our brothers and sisters in the struggle for justice. The civilians at the other end of our weapons don't have a choice, but American soldiers have choices. And while there may have been some doubt 5 years ago, today we know the truth. Our soldiers don't sacrifice for duty, honor, country. They sacrifice for Kellogg, Brown, and Roots. They don't fight for America. They fight for their lives and their buddies beside them because we put them in a war zone. They're not defending our freedom. They're laying the foundation for 14 permanent military bases to defend the freedoms of ExxonMobil and British Petroleum. They're not establishing democracy. They're establishing the basis for an economic occupation to continue after the military occupation has ended. Iraqi society today, thanks to American help, is defined by house raids, death squads, checkpoints, detentions, curfews, blood in the streets, and constant violence. We must dare to speak out in support of the Iraqi people who resist and endure the horrific existence we brought upon them through our bloodthirsty imperial crusade. We must dare to speak out in support of those American war resistors, the real military heroes, who uphold their oath to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, including those terrorist cells in Washington, D.C., more commonly known as the legislative, executive, and judicial branches. Frederick Douglass says, "Those who profess to favor freedom and yet appreciate agitation are people who want crops without plowing the ground. They want rain without thunder and lightning. They want the ocean without the roar of its many waters. The struggle may be a moral one, or it may be a physical one, or it may be both, but it must be a struggle. Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never has, and it never will. Every one of us, must keep demanding, keep fighting, keep thundering, keep plowing, keep speaking, keep struggling until justice is served. No justice, no peace."